Chat with Mrs. Burns' third grade.
I'm Isabella.
I'm Peggy.
I'm Lincoln.
I'm Ben.
I'm Jack.
I'm Jade.
And I'm Sarah. And today we're with Mr. Pritzker, Mr. J.B. Pritzker, who was a philanthropist, a business owner, and is running for governor of Illinois. And thank you for being on the chat.
Can you tell us briefly about yourself?
Sure. Thank you very much for having me on your program today. I've been a businessman for about 25 or 30 years now. I started out growing up with a family who was in business, but very, very committed to social justice. Making sure that people who can't take care of themselves have the food and shelter and clothing that they might need, making sure that we're standing up for people's civil rights so no one gets discriminated against, making sure that we're doing the right things in life. And so I grew up in a home like that, and I went to school to study about political science, actually, about politics and about government. And then I got my law degree and became an attorney, but decided to use that both going into business and also being involved in government. And so that's what I've been doing ever since for the last couple of decades. And so today I run a business with 10,000 employees.
Oh my God.
But I also have done some things like 55,000 school kids all around the state of Illinois get school breakfast because of work that I did with Greater Chicago Food Depository and Share Our Strength. And there are more than 50,000 kids who attend a museum that I helped to build called the Illinois Holocaust Museum, and also thousands
like
of
the
kids
one
who get
in, like the one in Washington, D.C.?
It is. It's just like that, and it's here in Illinois.
I've been there. Yeah, I think it's also very important that you have a Holocaust Museum, just to make sure that it never happens again. And that's really most of the point of having it, and it's very important to have it.
Just a quick question about what you said a little bit earlier. Like when you say that you have like 10,000 or something people working with you, is it like homework or like in a building work? That many people in a building or like?
No, they work in various places. Some of them work in factories, and some of them work in office buildings, and some of them work on boats, believe it or not. And so they work in different places for my company.
Cool. So why do you want to be the governor of Illinois?
Well, that is a really good question. And it's a good question because lots of people want to run for lots of different positions, and they should have a really good reason for doing it. Throughout my life, I've been taking on really big challenges. I'm trying to solve really big problems for people. For example, in Chicago, there wasn't a very well-developed technology community, so people like you who might want to go into the technology world, maybe start a business like Instagram is in Facebook, lots of the other apps, Snapchat and other things like that. If you wanted to go into a technology business in Chicago, it was very hard to do. And so I tried to change that by building a big incubator in Chicago, a technology incubator. That means you could move into it and start your business and get lots of help starting your business. And so the same thing about serving those kids, those 55,000 kids, school breakfast, big problem that needed to be solved for lots of people. I like building the museum, lots of people served by that museum, and like helping kids get preschool all over the state. So those are the big problems that I've been trying to tackle during my life. And I live here in Illinois and in Chicago, and I'm married and I have my business here and all my friends here. But the state is really in a lot of trouble. The people who lead the state have not done a good job of running it. And the problem that we're all facing is they're not paying the bills from the state. So they're getting, the bills are coming due and they don't have any money and they haven't figured out how to pay for all the things that we need. And haven't decided what it is that they, you know, that their priorities are. And so I think I can do a better job. And so I've decided I want to run for governor so that I can help to fix those problems in the state. And people can get jobs and your education, your teachers will get paid better and there'll be a better education, fewer kids in a classroom so you can get more attention from your teachers. Those are all the kinds of things that I want to accomplish as governor.
So that kind of leads us to our next question. What are your ideas for fixing the Chicago public school budget crisis?
Well, that's an excellent question, and you guys are very sophisticated to ask. We have a big problem in this state. The state of Illinois is last among all 50 states. We're the bottom in terms of the state providing enough money for schools to operate. So the state is the lowest among all states in terms of the amount of money that it gives to all the schools around the state. And we need to fix that problem. And that will help Chicago Public Schools. And then the second problem that goes with that is we don't distribute the money very well in the state of Illinois. The people who are running the state don't. And so some schools get more money for every kid that goes to school than other schools do. And that doesn't seem fair to me. We ought to make sure that all the schools have whatever they need in order to have a successful education system for you, the kids.
I asked the question because one of my family members is a teacher at Saugnash, which is a Chicago public school, and it's kind of hard just because it's frustrating how it's unfair because they don't get as much money as other schools.
That's right. And you know, there are some schools, I don't know what it's like at your school, maybe you can tell me, but there are some schools that don't, where the kids don't even get books, where most of the kids aren't even able to use books because the school can't afford them. And so it's a real problem.
Wow, that means, like, compared to our school, we're pretty lucky.
Because we have a library.
Yeah, we have, like, I don't know.
iPads,
like,
we have iPads.
Yeah, we have, like,
iPads,
like,
computers.
So compared to books in there, we have, like, a
we
lot
should
of
be
books.
Lucky to have this like, stuff.
Yeah.
You really are, and it shouldn't be that you're lucky. In other words, all of the kids in Illinois should be able to get a good education no matter where they live.
Yeah, I agree.
So, we are a little confused about what the Illinois budget is, but we know there is a problem with it. Can you tell us what is happening and your ideas for fixing it?
Sure. Well, you're right. You guys know that there is a big budget problem in the state, and the budget problem is that you know, when you are at home and your parents are trying to pay for their bills at home, they've got to go earn enough money so that they can pay all the bills, and then they've got to make sure that they don't spend and you don't spend more money than you have coming in to your home. Well, the state of Illinois is spending more money than it has coming in. And so, you know, the state has to do what parents have to do at home, which is make decisions about, you know, whether they need to go earn more money or whether they need to cut down on some of the things they're spending money on or do both of those things. And so the budget crisis that you hear about in the state is that the legislature in the state and the governor aren't getting together to decide how they're going to fix this problem. It would be like if your mom and dad didn't talk to one another about how to fix the problem of paying the bills at home. And so they just sit there kind of with their arms folded, especially the governor, who is the one who's the leader of the state. He's supposed to come to the legislature with a plan for balancing the budget, making sure we can pay our bills, and he's refused to do it.
Okay, so what are your ideas for controlling crime?
Well, there obviously we've got too many shootings going on and too much crime. And so, you know, the biggest problem we have, I think, in this state, and the reason there's so much increase in crime, is that the governor of Illinois has been cutting all of the services that people who really need help would get. So think about homeless shelters. They're being cut. They're being closed. Think about mental health facilities, so doctors, trying to get people help from doctors. Think about early childhood education. So before you were in third grade, back before you went to kindergarten, maybe you went to preschool. That's been cut in the state. Child care in the state has been cut. These are all things that make families much more stressed and make people wonder how they're going to get through the next day or the next week if you can't eat or if you have no place to live or you're not able to get care for your children. It makes you desperate sometimes. It makes you very stressed. And some people, when they get very, very desperate, they decide that they don't have any choice because no one's willing to help them, and they might go commit a crime. So that is something that's fed the problem. It's made the problem worse in the state. And we need to fix that problem. And unfortunately, the governor doesn't think it's very important. And that's one reason why I want to replace him.
Because the reason I asked that question also is because one of my family members is a police officer.
I want to say, if your family member is a police officer, please tell them thank you for their service, because they're really doing a wonderful, wonderful thing for all of us by serving us, by protecting us. And, you know, the police officers, every time you see one, and every time you see someone in the Army or in the military, even when you're out, you know, walking around, if you go to the mall or you go traveling somewhere and you see somebody in uniform, you should stop and say thank you for your service.
Okay, so how can you help so that all kids, no matter what color, how much money their family makes, or what they believe in, get an equal education?
I didn't hear the first part of your question. How do we help everybody, no matter what their income, get an equal education?
Yeah.
Was that the question, Alan? Well, like I said, you know, one of the biggest problems we have is that really only the wealthiest communities are able to afford the best schools, and the poor communities where kids really need an extra helping hand, maybe, aren't able to afford good schools, and they aren't able to afford to have really good teachers. And so imagine, I don't know, I'll ask you guys, when you go to class, let's say you go to math class today, how many kids are there in your classroom, just sitting in the room, how many?
20. Well, two are absent, but 20.
So what did you say, around 20?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in some classrooms, in poor neighborhoods and in poor cities around the state of Illinois, in some classrooms there are 45 kids and one teacher. So imagine the twice the size or more of your class in one room, and imagine that the teacher is trying to be helpful to all of those kids all at once. That's not happening. It's not fair. It's not, you know, those kids are not getting the attention that they might need or want from a teacher.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the big problems that we have in education today.
Yeah, like, I noticed, I read this book about, it's about South America and how they teach people through, like, first through sixth grade all in the same classroom.
Yeah, that's got to be very, very hard to do.
Yeah, because all those different aged people, from the youngest to the oldest,
all probably talking and, like, wrestling around.
Hard to get the teacher's attention. Hard to get the student's attention.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How important is technology in education?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, because I think, you know, when I'm in the technology business, so I help people start their companies and build really cool new technology that you guys get to use. And you guys, you are the ones who are going to build the technology of the future. So when you're in school, it's really important for all of us that you guys learn really well, that girls and boys learn math and science and are able to learn a computer language, and that you're exposed to technology. It sounds like you all have iPads in your classroom, and each of you has an iPad, and that's really cool. And it helps you guys be more advanced, let's say, than other kids who don't have an iPad and who aren't learning anything about computers. And every child should learn about technology, because it's so important for getting a job later, because everything is kind of moving toward having a component of it be technology. You know, there's almost nothing that you do today that doesn't involve the internet. And that doesn't involve, you know, some kind of software, and like an iPad or a laptop computer. And so every child needs to be able to learn about that, and then be able to learn enough that they could get a job using technology, or maybe even creating technology.
There's another group in our class. This is just a group of us. Well, the other group in our class is making an app, and the money that they get from the app, they're gonna donate it to the Anthony Rizzo Cancer Foundation.
Wonderful. And you know what? That's such a cool thing to do, and not only because it's charitable, and it's obviously it's going to help maybe another child who might have cancer, but also because the kids who are doing it are learning how to build a new technology, right? They're building an app. And they're also learning how to maybe create a kind of a business.
Yeah, like, I used to code and make
an app. Yeah,
but now we do podcasts.
Yeah, we switched over.
Jack, Ben, and Lincoln do it. And then we have two absent members, Rowan and Eliana, and Rowan's in the
He was.
But we switched.
To the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I just have another question. As a philanthropist, what are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of?
Yes.
Well, gosh. I guess there are, you know, two things I'm really proud of are both of my kids. I have a 14-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son, and they're both really nice and good people. And they're both smart, and they work hard in school. So I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud of my my wife, who is one of the nicest and smartest people that I know, and who I don't know if I could be successful or do the kinds of things that I get to do if I didn't have a partner like her in everything that I do. And then finally, I'm proud of my parents. I mean, I'm proud of a lot of things, but I'm also proud of my parents. They passed away a long time ago, but they were really good people too, and they cared a lot about the world, and they raised us three kids, me and my sister, my brother, to be good people, to try to do good things in the world. And I'm just so proud of having parents who cared about us enough to, and cared about the world enough to teach us to do the right things.
Why is it important to help people?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, that is such a good question. I think that, remember, we're all born pretty much equal. In other words, when you come out of your mom, you know, you're just a baby and someone's got to take care of you. And it's just not fair when someone else grows up and doesn't have, you know, food or shelter, or they don't have somebody nice that's taking care of them, and they don't have a good education, and you do. If you have it and someone else doesn't have it, that doesn't seem right to me. And we need to make sure that everybody gets a fair chance, a good opportunity, that gets the right kind of love and care, so that everybody has an equal chance to grow up in our world and do well and to succeed, because, you know, we're all basically, in the eyes of God, we're all the same, and we should all have a, you know, an equal chance, and nobody should suffer if they don't have to. Nobody should suffer. In fact, there's no reason why anybody should suffer. And so we need to, you know, to care for other people, because it's good. It's also good for you and for me, and our souls, to, you know, make sure that we're, you know, that we're caring for other people. I think it's good for us and good for them at the same time. So I hope you'll all keep that in mind. I'm sure your parents tell you that. And I'm sure if you go to church or synagogue or a mosque, you know, your whoever leads your church or synagogue or mosque is talking about that very same thing.
We only have time for one more question. So, how are you going to make Illinois happy?
Well, there are several things. First, we have to get past the unhappiness that I think there is in the state of, you know, of having a leader and leaders who aren't thinking about other people, and they aren't thinking about how to care for everybody and make sure we have a good education for everybody, make sure we have health care for everybody. So we have to replace them. And this governor is, unfortunately, our current governor is somebody who doesn't seem to stand up for people like he should. And so that's one way in which we can make people happier. I think another way is, I think if we have leaders who wake up every day and think about, you know, how do we make people's lives better every single day? They should wake up and think about, how do we make people's lives better? How do we help people get a better job? How do we help people get a better education? How do we make sure that we're standing up for people's civil rights so that they don't get discriminated against? And if we do that, if we think about it every day, we work on it hard every day, we can make the state a better place to live, and I think that'll make everybody happier.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being on the chat, and good luck.
And we know you're very busy, so it's very nice of you for taking some of your time to...
I'm so happy to have joined you. It's really one of the pleasures of my month. podcast, and thank you guys for everything that you do, because it sounds like you're all very smart, and you're also interviewing lots of interesting people, and I'm just lucky to get a chance to be interviewed by you. Well, so thank you.
Like, we also,
this podcast is going to come out on Friday, and you can find it on iTunes, and we have many other podcasts.
And thank some you. People that we other interviewed, that we also interviewed, we interviewed Todd Ricketts, and we interviewed Hot Dog.
Wow, you guys, those are pretty cool interviews. Well, I really appreciate it. It sounds like a great podcast. I should go download all of them and listen to them. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you so much, Mr. Prince, for having a great day. Good luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you to Mr. J.B. Pritzker for taking the time and being on our podcast.
And tune in for next week, where we are going to have Mr. Todd Gillerlane, a Chicago police officer, to help in, and he's going to help us solve our essential question, which is, how do you solve a crime?
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Oh.